Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Hey, turn with us this morning to Daniel chapter number 1. Daniel chapter number 1. Appreciate the Lord. It's been good to be in the Lord's house. I could leave and truly say in my heart, it's been good. If I walked out of here and seen somebody, I'd say you just wouldn't believe how good it was.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Daniel chapter number 1. We'll begin at verse number 18 this morning. Just read a few verses and share with you our heart, and we'll get out of here. Thank God. Amen. Daniel chapter number 1. Got your King James Bible?
Yes.
Open it up. Daniel chapter number 1. Verse number 18. Now, at the end of the days, the king said he should bring them in. Then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. Father, thank you for your word. We pray you'd open it to our hearts. Lord, may it be big. Father, may we be small. May we see it, Father, for what it is. We rejoice in its truth, and we thank you for what you're going to do among us. As we ask it, believing, we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. In context, Daniel chapter number 1, the children of Israel in bondage. Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon has come and overthrown Israel, taken them captive, hauled them some 700-800 miles away back to Susan or Babylon, where the capital was at that time, and they were prisoners of war. And here we find that Nebuchadnezzar gathered up a great number of the young ones, a lot of those that had promise, a lot of those that seemed to be the spark of Israel at the time. He figured out who they were, and he had all of his men, his eunuchs and princes. He had them looking out for the best of the best, the cream of the crop, and he was hunting them down. And we find that among many of them, there were 4 of them that are identified for us in the book of Daniel. Now, I believe Daniel was the author of the book of Daniel, and he's writing, at least in part, a bit of an autobiographical of what happened to him. And what we find is an amazing thing as Daniel and his 3 buddies are taken in with a bunch of others. Now, I will say today that they weren't alone. Let me remind you, you can go down and look in the verse, and it says that what one of the princes of the eunuchs said to him, he told Daniel, he said, hey, he said, I can't do this. He said, if I do what you're asking me to do, and I come and present you and compare you to the rest of your sort, he said, I'm going to be found out, and my head will be at the king's hand. Right? So I just want you to know that there's a bunch of them from Israel. But there's 4 of them that stood. Now, there may be a bunch of us here this morning, but I wonder how many of us will stand. How many will stand for God today? How many of them will take that place and say, you know what, I'm drawing a line. I ain't crossing it. I'm going to stand for God, and I don't care what it costs me. But I'm going to do what God's bid me to do. Now, let me tell you who Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, that was what their names were before they were called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The Bible said that them 4 young men were in a bunch of young men, and that no doubt they knew them other young men. They knew who they were. They knew their lineage. They knew where they come from, who their families were. And they were hauled into Babylon at the same time as the rest of them were. But may I say to you today, it doesn't make any difference how many's here this morning, how many of you've known all your life. What it'll come down to is whether or not a man will stand for Jesus Christ, irregardless of the cost of that, regardless of what the world may say and what the world may require. It's going to come down to a place where men have got to stand, women have got to stand, and take a stand for God and and say, you know what? I don't know what the world's going to do, but I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to stand for God. I'm going to stand on His Word. I'm going to stand on His will, and I'm going to follow the purpose of God, and I'm just going to trust Him. You see, Daniel didn't know what was going to happen. The other three, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, they didn't have no idea how it was going to turn out for them, but I'll tell you what they had done. They had made up their mind that they were going to stand for God. Amen. Going to stand for God. And you'll find that the scripture that I read to you at the end of that process, and I'm going to share with you the process itself here in a second. That'll be my message. But I want you to know this. I want to title the message, Jesus is 10 times better. Jesus is 10 times better. Did you catch that when I read it to you a while ago? The Bible said that when them four was brought in front of the king. Now this is 3 years later. We're going to preach 3 years prior, but I read to you 3 years after. Amen. The wise men training program that these three got thrown into. Amen. When it got finished up, they got every one of them got marched in front of Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar, he looked at them. He asked them questions. He scrutinized them. He looked them over. And amen. He had all these tough things for them to ask. And the Bible said that when he talked to these four boys, it said they were none like them. No, none like them. As a matter of fact, he said they were 10 times better than all of his astrologers and magicians in all of his realm. Amen. You say, preacher, are you saying you're 10 times better? No, I'm saying he is. Amen. I tell you right now, I found something that's 10 times better than anything this world has had to offer. You say, well, I'm not one of them smart people like Azariah and Hananiah and Mishael and Daniel. They had no blemish. They had wisdom and understanding of the sciences. They had a great favor with men. Preacher, I ain't like Daniel. Beg your pardon, friend. Every one of you, when you got born then, amen, you got put in the wise man training program. And you've been a wise man, a friend in training ever since then. And I want you to know that when you compared to the world, you're 10 times better. Yeah, you're 10 times better. Hallelujah. You say, even Alfred, 10 times better. Amen. I'll tell you right now, what God gets a hold of, He makes it better. And if you ain't better, there's something wrong with you. Amen. You ain't yielded yourself with a willing spirit and a teachable heart and allowed God to run you through. Amen. The things that He wants to teach you. And I'll tell you right now, Nebuchadnezzar had his own ideas. What the Bible said was, is he wanted to bring them in. All them young men up from Jerusalem and Israel, he wanted to bring them in. And he wanted to teach them the learnings of the Babylonians. And he wanted to teach them the language of the Babylonians. But may I say to you today, that the world can keep trying to teach me. I done got taught. Amen. I done found out what truth is, and it has revealed the lie of this world. It has revealed the lie of the devil. And brother, I can't believe the things of this world anymore because I've done got put in the program. I've done learned from the one who knows all things. And I'll tell you right now, it's 10 times better. Amen. I'm glad I don't believe a monkey is where I came from. Yeah. Believing there was a creator that had a divine reason and a perfect ability to create everything that you see and everything that you are. Brother, that's 10 times better. Yeah, I can lay down at night knowing that I've got a king in glory that made it all. And I'm his and he's mine. Hey, well, you reckon them atheists that don't believe in nothing think when they lay down and wonder, am I right or am I wrong? I done found out who's right. And it's 10 times better, glory. 10 times better. Some of you came in frowning today. Bless God, I hope when you leave you say, boy, that's 10 times better than when I came in. Well, you say, how in the world can we get to be 10 times better? Let me see if I can start today by trying to help us understand how to understand or define what 10 times better means. Now let's start with something. Now I tell you, I had to feed cows yesterday. It's been raining. Now I'm telling you, I don't own anything flat. It's all knobs. And it's nasty, muddy. I mean, when she even says we got to go to the barn, I grab them big boots. It is horrible. But you know what? I was coming up out of the bottom, And them tires was a-spinning, all four of them. Amen. Let me say to you today, a four-wheel drive tractor's 10 times better. Huh? I'd have never got out of the bottom. But I've come up and down that hill, amen, 3 or 4 times a week for the last 3 or 4 months, for the last 12 or 14 years, feeding them cattle. And you know what? I ain't ever been stuck. Amen, I've been stuck on a two-wheel drive rig, but I ain't ever been stuck on that four-wheel drive tractor. And I want you to know today, it's 10 times better. You know what that means? I ain't going back no two-wheel rig. No, when you get to the place you understand what's 10 times better, amen, once you get it, you won't give it up. Amen. You say, well, that's of the world. Let me tell you, it's about something else that's 10 times better. Whoa, glory to God. Amen. When I got born again, the living word of God came inside of me. And then I got a book. Amen. From Genesis unto Revelations, I find that the Lord Jesus Christ is the author of it all. He's the reason of it all. He's the purpose to it all. And bless God, it's 10 times better than any book I've ever read. It set me free 1,000,000 times. And it keeps setting me free. Amen. The word of God is 10 times better than anything else out there. Yeah. They've wrote a bazillion books and there ain't libraries that'll hold them all. Do you know what John said? Paul, he said, if they'd have wrote everything Jesus did, he said the earth couldn't have held the books. That sounds 10 times better than the rest of these authors. That sounds way better. I've got something that's better than what this world has. Let me tell you something. You say, preacher, I believe you've undervalued it. It's more than 10. It is a point of reference. I'll give you that. Amen. Because when this thing rescues me, it feels 1,000 times better. Amen. I'm glad, friend, that I've got something that is better than this world has. And I'll tell you right now, you can trust in it. It'll help you when nothing else will help you. I want something, friend, that's better than what this world has. Yeah, the Bible's better. Some places are better. Some places are better. We went to the East Coast, up into the New England area, back 25-year anniversary, I guess it was. And been a while since I'd been on the Atlantic Coast. And got to the Atlantic Coast, and we walked out there. She wanted to see the water, the Atlantic. We walked out there. And there's old rocks everywhere, and that old brown sand. This ugliest thing I'd ever seen. And I looked at her and I said, I've seen better. She said, I have too. She said, let's not come back here no more. I said, all right. Amen. The next year, come time to take a vacation. You know where we went back? We went back to the Gulf of Mexico. Amen. That old sand's white. The water's clear green. Amen. Most beautiful thing you ever seen. And I looked at her and I said, this 10 times better. She said, yeah, I believe we just stick with this. I want you to know there are places, amen, that are 10 times better. I want you to know that even down here, this whole world is filled with sorrow. This whole world is filled with heartache. This whole world is filled with the sin of it. And amen, there's trouble on every hand and strife on every hand. But let me tell you about a place, amen, that's 10 times better than anything you've ever experienced down here. Hey, glory to God. There's been some good days. I've experienced some good things from God. But I'll tell you right now, the best is yet to come. You say, how do you know? Because heaven is 10 times better than anything that's ever been here. Amen. Amen. Say 10 times? Well, 1,000 times better. 1,000,000 times better. But the Bible said that when old Nebuchadnezzar looked at them boys, he said they 10 times smarter than the rest of that lot put together. That's pretty big. What it was is a noticeable difference. It's a noticeable difference. And when you're trying to understand what 10 times better means, you can talk about some things and you can talk about some places, but I'd like to talk about someone. Someone. I'll hurry with this. Amen. I want to spend some time, but I don't. You know what I'm going to talk about. But I remember... Amen. I remember the day I got Twitter pated. Huh? If you don't know what that means, watch Bambi. I remember the day I fell in love. I'll tell you right now, I believe it's love at first sight. I've said that, she said that, we both believe it. I believe it's love at first sight. I'm telling you, when I seen that girl, I thought, oh, yeah, I like that girl right there. And she pursued me and got me. Now, that's the truth. You can ask her. She pursued me and she got me. But you know what? She's 10 times better. Amen. I ain't putting down any other women. And I hope to God that your man would say the same thing about you. Amen. But the one he gave me, Jerry, I think she's 10 times better than anybody else. Amen. I'm glad that I found someone that was so much better. Ain't that, I love the hound out of that. Amen. There are some things in this world, amen, that can be like 10 times better than anything else. Let me say this. I believe this church is 10 times better. Huh? Amen. I've been to a lot of other churches, and I love other churches. I do. I just told you, I went to a church Thursday night, had a ball, and saw about 200 people worshiping, enjoyed it myself, and experienced the goodness of God. It was awesome, but it wasn't home. Amen. I left there thinking to myself, hey, I get to go home on Sunday. I believe it's 10 times better. Hey, God, thank you for those things that you've given us that help us understand there's some good things in this world, and we can have them. We can have them. Well, but you know where this is going to. I met Jesus one day. And when it comes to someone, hey, Lord, he's 10 times better. Hey, he's just better than anything else, Paul. Anybody else I've ever met, 1,000 times over. Well, now maybe we understand what 10 times better means. But now let's look at how they actually got to that place. How did Daniel and his three friends, how did they get to the place where they were 10 times better than the rest of their opponents, the rest of their peers? How in the world was it that they ended up being so far better than what the rest of that lot was, right? And it wasn't like they were comparing them to Babylonian young men. It wasn't like they was comparing them to those that had never knew the Word of God or understood the Word of God. No. Daniel was being compared, and his three friends were being compared to a bunch of other young Israelites, a bunch of other Jewish young men, maybe 17, 18, 20-year-old, maybe a little less. But you know what? They were all from Jerusalem. They were all Jews. They all had the same Word brought to them. They all had the same opportunity brought to them. But I'll tell you right now, there was something different about these three boys. The Bible said, number one, you'll find it in verse number 8. Let me read it to you. Still in chapter number 1. Now Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Amen. You say, preacher, how can I be 10 times better than those that are in this world? Listen, I'm not trying to lift myself up. I done told you, if there's anything better about me, I've been trying to tell you it's about somebody else. Amen. It's about something else. It's about someone else. It ain't about me. I'll tell you right now, these three had a decision to make. And the Bible said, number one, they purposed in their heart that they wasn't going to be defiled by this world's meat or its drink. May I say to you today, if we're to stand out in this world, if we're to be heads and shoulders above the rest of the lot that is out there today, I'll tell you right now, it's going to take some commitment on your part. It'll take a surrender on your part. It'll take a willingness on your part to deny yourself the lust of your own flesh, to be set apart and made segregated, friend, consecrated for the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you'll let Him do that in you, He'll make you 10 times better. Yep. I've met them, you've met them, them good saints of God. Great number of them done gone on to heaven. Amen. But we remember how they lived. We remembered the testimony they left behind. We remembered the love they had in their heart for Christ. and for his people, and they left for us an example, and they showed us what it means to me. I'll tell you right now, some of them good saints of God, amen, that are forever burned into my memory, I pray to God I never forget them. You say, why? Because they're 10 times better than anything else. Amen. Anybody else I've met down here, hell, those that God's got a hold of, he makes them better than the rest of the world. You can go to every shrink, every psychiatrist, every philosopher. You can try to find everything you're looking for to satisfy your problem for him. But I'll tell you right now, a good saint of God is 10 times better than any pill, any shrink, anything you'll ever know. Amen. Say it's better? No, I ain't what I said. I said it's 10 times better. Yeah, what God's got is so much better. It's sad. Part of us don't even utilize it. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Every time something flips our card over, we run to somebody from this world. Go on social media. What should I do? If you'd socialize with God a little bit more, it'd be 10 times better, I'd say. Because he actually knows what you should do. The rest of the lot don't. Yeah. But I have had times I've had to sit down by a old saint of God, said, I'm in trouble. Got any advice? And they go open up that old book. Amen. Said, yeah, let me tell you what I went through one time. Let me tell you what I've learned down the road. And you know what I found, Tish? That's 10 times better than anything I ever heard. Amen. That was something that could help me. That was something that would lift me up out of the miry pit, the ditch I was in. Amen. If you want to be better in this world, amen, than the Lord, yes, you're in the wise man training program. If you got saved, you're in it today. The question is, will you be 10 times better than the others? Because in the end, we get rewarded. How come? Because we all didn't perform the same. Some performed better than others. Some fought a good fight and finished their course. Some kept the faith. And others just sat on a bench, saved. You reckon when you get to heaven, he'll say, you're 10 times better. Or will he look at you and say, you just rocked the rest of the lot. You didn't give me your all. You didn't try every day. You kept giving up on what I told you to do. And you kept falling in that same old ditch, and I kept lifting you out of it and helping you every day, and you never would commit to me. You never would give me what I want. And that's all of you. If you want to be 10 times better, you're going to have to lay yourself into the hands of God. Let me read to you what the scripture says. The Bible said, Romans chapter number 12, verse 1 and 2, he said, Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You have got to be committed to be 10 times better. Half-heartedness will never be 10 times better. Amen. Amen. You ever found anything in this world that was half-cocked that was 10 times better? No. No, you're going to have to get committed to God. This little half-hearted business that you call worship, this little half-hearted service that you call dedication, this little business of a dabble do me, if you think right now that somehow is entertaining to God or pleasing to God, no, listen, friend, he wants all of you. And in order for you to be better than the rest of the lot, you're going to have to give it up. You're going to have to let him have it to be 10 times better. Listen, these four boys, they were 10 times better than the rest of the lot. Under the test, they were proven to be 10 times better. Look at number 2. Number 1, We've seen that there has to be a commitment. There has to be a commitment. But number two, we'll find in verse number 9. Let me read it to you. Verse number 9. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Now mark that, okay? Because I want you to know that to be truly better in this world is going to take a whole lot of grace. Huh? That's what it says right there. Read it. The Bible said that God did something Daniel couldn't do. God did something that Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael couldn't do. God did something for them that they couldn't do. And the Bible said that he took them four and he put them in the favor of the prince of the eunuchs. Now, I got put in the favor of God one day when I got saved. Amen. I'll tell you right now, I know what grace means. Amen. And I know how it applies to me because I got born again one day. For the Bible said, for by grace are ye saved. Amen. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for it's a gift of God. Grace saved me one day. But I'll tell you, brother, I still live in the grace of God today. You say, what is grace? Grace is the unmerited favor of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you right now, if we're to be 10 times better than this world, we're going to have a little grace along the way. Amen. What are you saying? I'm saying you need help. Huh? Yeah, Lord Jesus, I need some help, don't you, dear? Yeah, if I'm going to be better than this world, I'm going to need a little grace from the one who is able to do what I can't do. I can't make myself better than the rest, but I know one who can. Amen. A little bit of grace is what it's going to take for us to be better than this world. Now, I'm not just talking about this world, obviously. Amen. The Babylonians was the world in analogy. The Babylonians would have been the world, but I'm talking about other Christians. Amen. Because there's a lot of Christians out there that don't live it. No, they go on carrying on. Amen. Cussing, drinking, smoking, fornicating, adultering, whatever you want to say. Amen. I wonder if they're even saved. But let's just say they are saved. Let me tell you something right now. I want to be better than that. Huh? There is an expectation that was given by my master. And brother, he has lined out for me what is right and what is wrong. And there is an opportunity and a purpose in my life to be holy because he said he was. And that I am to be holy. And brother, when it comes right down to it, you'll never be better than the rest of the lot until you surrender to the grace of God to help you. Amen. Oh yeah, preacher, I'm right. I'm seeking God's grace every day. Are you? Well, how come there's never enough grace to get you back on Sunday nights?
Yeah, amen.
You reckon he run out? What about them other meetings? You see, what sets apart the people of God that are better than the rest of the lot is they go farther because they recognize grace is there to help them. You ain't no better, no different than anybody else. You've got problems. I've got problems. I've got a schedule. You've got a schedule. I'm busy. You're busy. But I'll tell you right now, if we're to be better than the rest of this world, brother, we're going to have to surrender and let the grace of God take us where our flesh don't want to go.
Amen.
Committed, but it's going to take some grace. The Bible said that God did something for Daniel that he couldn't do for himself. He put him in favor with the prince of the eunuchs. He was going to need a little help. Yeah, thank the Lord. When it comes to chores, amen, things that maybe my children had to do when they were at home, I'll tell you right now, if they didn't do it, they found themselves in a conflict. There was a problem. But you know what? If they ever one time said, I need a little help, you know what? Mom and Daddy was right there to help them along. I never did. It didn't bother me to help my children. Amen. As long as they was invested, as long as they were doing, as long as they were trying. Amen. I ain't opposed to helping. Thanks be to God. Jesus ain't opposed to helping you. He'll help you. He'll hold your hand. He said he would. He'll keep you when you can't keep yourself. When you're flopping around trying to get everything in this world done for God. Amen. He'll be right there. He'll give you grace when you need it. And you know what? This old world will look and they'll say, man, that fella, he's 10 times better than some of them other Christians. Some of them Christians I work with that whisper in my ear and try to tell me dirty jokes, that other fellow don't do that. That other fellow don't talk like that. That other fellow don't compromise on a Friday night. That other fellow evidently has got some boundaries, some limits, some parameters, some guardrails. He seems better somehow. But what made him better? You see, it's the curiosity of the lost person that'll open up a door to share Jesus. You know why, Steve? Because they look at you and they think, that's Steve, he's a strange feller. There's something about him that's better. Ah, I just don't see that everywhere. Hey, Steve, what's better about you? And see, that just opens up a door to say, well, it ain't me. But let me tell you what happened when I made a commitment to Jesus Christ and I fell right into his favor and he helps me. It's going to take a little help to be better. But lastly, and we'll close. Let me finish with this. The Bible said in verse number 12, let me read it to you. Well, let me read you the other. And verse number 10, and the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king who hath pointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Here's what he said, verse number 12. Daniel said, prove thy servants. He said, what do you mean? He said, test us. He said, I'm not trying to get you in trouble, Melzar. He said, I'm not going to get you. Nothing I'm doing is to expose you to the king. He said, all I'm telling you is give us a chance. Test me. Test it. Test what? Well, Daniel had said, I'm not eating the king's meat. Why? Read your Old Testament. There were meats they couldn't eat. God had some were clean, some were unclean in that day. Right? Different this day. But in that day, there were some meats they couldn't eat. And that's what the king was trying to feed him. Daniel said, I'm not going to eat it. I'm not going to eat it. He said, you got to eat it. Now, God had given favor to him for them. So this man loved these four boys. He didn't know why he loved them, but he loved these four boys. And he said, look, he said, I can't do that. The king will have my head. Because when I present you, he said, you're not going to be as good as the rest of them, and he's going to blame me. Daniel said, no. No, he said, test us. He said, try us for a second. He said, just give us 10 days. 10 days. The king will never know. He said, and then you judge for yourself after 10 days. I wonder today if we're willing to be tested. Yeah, it takes a commitment. And there's no question about it. We got to have help. We're going to need the grace of God. But where does faith come in, Ronnie? Where does faith come in? You realize, you see, that the only way to please God is through faith. The only way to ultimately please God is through faith. It's one thing to make a commitment. It's another to be under the grace and the influence of an all-wise and mighty God. But friend, at some point, you've got to face the test. That's where faith is exposed. Daniel looked at him. He said, I'm not trying to get you in trouble, Melzar. What I'm saying is, test us. And you'll find out for yourself that what we're saying will be better. How'd Daniel know? Come get a song. How'd Daniel know? I know he knew the Word of God. I believe he had the scroll of Jeremiah with him. He sure did quote it. But he was a committed fella. I believe he was committed before he ever left Israel. Amen. That's the best way to get committed is before you get into the heat. Yeah. Amen. The best way to make a good decision is to make it before you ever get to the choice.
Amen.
That's what this is, morning, hunter. This is the place to make the decision before you ever face the choice out there. Then, when you face the choice out there, having made a commitment to God in here, receiving the grace of God for there, you're able to stand in that place and say, test me. Daniel said, prove us. That's all I'm asking you to do. All I'm asking you to do is to give us water and pulse. None of the king's meat, none of the king's wine. We're not going to eat it. We're not going to drink it. Give us pulse and water for 10 days, and you judge. You know what Daniel was saying? He was saying, I believe God. He was saying, Rodney, that I believe that if I take a stand for God, that God will prove in the end he is 10 times better. Amen.
Amen.
Test me. Test her. Test them. Because if they've made a commitment to God and the hand of God is upon them, the favor of God, and then they go out into the world with faith that what they have believed in is true, what the world will find at the end of that process, Brother Mickey, is that God is 10 times better. And so they did. They tried it for 10 days. And the Bible said at the end of the 10-day test, old Melzar, he lined them all back up. He started looking down the line. He kept looking back at old Daniel. Looking down the line, look back at old Hananiah, Mishael, all the way to the end, Azariah. All I've been feeding you is that little porridge and water. And yet it said that their complexion was fairer and fatter. Hey, there's a place in the Bible where fatter's better. He looked at him and he said, and no question. The very thing he said I was worried about, he said, you're better. Because what he was going off of was his eyes, you see. Because what he's worried about was what the king saw. And he said, if you're not better, if you're worse than the others in your lot, he'll have my head for it. It's okay if you're all the same. But what he saw was better. And here's what happened. Guess what they got to eat on day number 11? Got some more of that porridge. Got some more water. Huh? What about day 794? They got some more porridge. And they got some more water. And you know what the rest of them cats were eating? They still eating the king's meat. Still drinking the king's wine. Are you still drinking the king's wine? Huh? Are you still messing around with this world, a born-again believer of Jesus Christ? Are you still half-heartedly serving God today? Let me tell you how it ends up. Hear me now. 3 years later, minus 10 days, 3 years later, they marched them all in front of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of the world, the ruler of all the world. They marched them in front of the king. And Paul, of all of them that he saw, of all of them that he talked to, of all of them that he quizzed and asked hard questions, of all of them that he applied every form of test that he could, he found four that he said were 10 times better than the rest of them put together. There's a judgment coming.
Amen.
For the believers of Jesus Christ, there's a judgment coming. There's a day of reckoning for us as believers. I'd like to find, for him to find me better. somehow. I'd like somehow for him to say, well done. I don't know, but I struggle with that thought of ever getting to the place that the Lord will say, well done. But for those 3 years, them boys commit. Well, I tell you right now, Daniel lived to be 90-something years old, and he was probably 17 then. For the next 73 years, he was absolutely rock-solid faithful to God. Check it out. You can read it for yourself. He is so faithful to God, lions didn't have a taste for him. Huh?
Amen.
Hissa better that Gabriel came to give him a special message. And then before he was done, Christ showed up. In the end, Gabriel looked at him and he said, oh, Daniel, a man well beloved. That's the highest angel in heaven. Looked at a man. Oh, Daniel, a man well beloved. Reckon he's 10 times better? Jesus, he's 1,000 times better than me. He's 10,000 times better than me. What are we going to do with this life that he's given us? You just want to be like the rest of the lot, bro, huh? Just want to get to heaven so you're just like the rest of them Christians. You never gave it your all. You never tried. You never committed. You never believed. You were just saved. I believe we can be better.
Amen.
Amen. I believe we can be better. I don't know your heart today, but if you'd like to pray about it, I know God that'll listen to you. And I believe it's his will to make us all better. To do a work in our lives that nobody else can do. To the very point that somebody's going to peck you on the shoulder one day and say, hey, there's something about you. Can I ask you a question? And you'll be able to say, guess what? I know who you're looking for. He found me one day. And I believe he's trying to find you today. Tell him about the one that can make you 10 times better to this old world and to everything else in it. Would you stand with us this morning? If you need Jesus today, would you come? Listen, it's between you and God, but you better make a choice soon. You better make a commitment to God soon, because judgment is surely coming. For the people of God, judgment is coming. The judgment seat of Christ is soon approaching. And we're going to stand before him as the redeemed of God, and we're going to have to give an account. What have we done? What have we done? Are we better? Are we trying? God help us. God help us. Go ahead and sing. If you're here and need the Lord, come on. We'll pray with you, pray for you, do everything we can to help you. But you need him. You need Christ today. Would you come? Commit to him.